people get gardening wrong because of pruning. You know, they'll either prune it wrong so it doesn't flower or not prune it so it doesn't flower.
Yeah.
And they always say, oh, I'm rubbish at gardening. You just need to get the pruning right and you'll get everything else right.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go wrong with watering and mulching. You literally cannot go wrong. You know,
Yeah.
it's quite a simple task to put it down and put the water down.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got the time, but pruning, you've obviously got to know, you know, like wiring a plug, you've got to know that that wire goes into that point. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, for sure.
Hello, and welcome to the Self Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 80 of the Self Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Today, I am talking to Adam from Gardener's Tale, and Adam is a fan of the show. He has supported me and Self Sufficient Hub and what we've been trying to do since right near the very, very start. He's been a big supporter of our YouTube channel and just generally very, very helpful to me. And we've been in touch quite a bit over lots of different subjects. Now, Adam is an extremely knowledgeable plant guy. He is a horticulturalist, which I am not. Everything I am is just self-taught, and I'm very much learning and a work in progress. And Adam reached out and said he'd like to offer his time to basically put together this talk that we have today, which is all around your summer pruning treatments for your fruit trees. But we do talk about a lot more than just that, so it's worth a listen even if you don't have fruit trees, if you just want to learn a little bit more. And I'm incredibly grateful to Adam for his time for this interview, but just also I'm incredibly grateful for the way he sees the world and the way he offers me personally the encouragement that he does. He's a fantastic human being that I'm very, very grateful to have had the chance to meet, at least virtually. So we've got a meetup scheduled later in the year when I'm actually going to meet Adam face to face. We're going to do a bit of mushroom foraging together, and I'm sure that that will be the subject of another show. But in the meantime, let me hand you over to Adam from Gardener's Tale. So today we are joined by Adam from Gardener's Tale. Adam, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Carl. You're most welcome. Super happy to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. Adam, for those of you listening, he has been one of the people who has supported me the longest. He was one of the first people to start leaving me some really positive feedback on my channel right when I first started it. And there's two or three people that have done that right from the start. And I'm eternally grateful for that support, Adam. So first of all, before we do anything else, thank you so much for that.
Oh, you're very welcome. I feel as immediately when I first watched one of your videos, I felt a connection that, you know, we're both on a similar sort of self-sufficient journey. And I really connected with the mannerisms and how effortlessly you kind of portray yourself to everyone. And it just is so genuine as well. So it's lovely to see where there's no, you know, fake business there. It's all real and raw, and I love that. So yeah, it's brilliant. So thank you for all your content that you're producing. It's fantastic.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your kind words. So today what we're really going to be talking about, and it's a subject that I was grateful that you actually reached out and suggested, because it's one that I'm not particularly knowledgeable on, even though it's something I do, and that is just sort of general maintenance of fruit trees. And we're going to be talking at various times about different things. There's going to be quite an emphasis on some of the summer jobs that we would be doing
with our fruit trees, in particular some of the pruning that would happen around now. But just generally, the tree maintenance side of things is something that I haven't spent the time to really learn. I'm doing bits and bobs, like a lot of what I'm doing. I'm sort of learning on an ad hoc basis. So this is a great opportunity for me to dive a little bit deeper with someone who really knows their stuff. So we are in the middle of summer right now, obviously in the Northern Hemisphere. For us in the Northern Hemisphere, what jobs are we looking at putting on our to-do list in the immediate future for our fruit trees?
So I would say a key one that is really key that often gets missed, whether it's lack of knowledge or just generally it gets missed for time, really. But it is a key one, and that is pruning. So it's really key to prune your fruit trees in the summer and the winter at the same time. So a lot of the time it does get missed because there is that kind of thought that you want to prune it when it's dormant, but you've got to realize that there's a lot of growth going on there, and you don't want to waste all that growth on the branches. You want to put that into your fruit and your fruit for next year. So I would say if you can't do well, I would say watering would probably be the key. Keep it alive, but close behind watering,
yes.
I would absolutely put pruning up there. That's a real key one. For other bits that you can do at this time of year, there's obviously just general maintenance at looking at your tree for pests and disease. So really keep your eye out for that. More so pests, but then pests can lead to disease. So really keep your eye out for all the pests that are going to be on your fruit trees. And if need be, you may have to spray. Now, spray does not have to be, non-organic. You can use kind of a fairy liquid mixture. It's usually aphids and various leaf sucking insects, and all those sort of insects actually breathe through their back. So by putting something like a fairy liquid mixture, other brands are available, on their backs, it suffocates them effectively. What?
Yeah, well, I tell you, I do. This is something that I do actually have something useful to interject that perhaps would help. And that is what I've been using, and I haven't had this trouble on my fruit trees, but I had a ridiculous aphid infestation on a couple of my broad bean plants. They were basically black with aphids. And what I used, and it cleared it up incredibly quickly, was the soap that I make from horse chestnut leaves. It literally had two ingredients, water and horse chestnut leaves. And I've done a video on YouTube. I don't know if you've seen it, Adam, but I made that into a soap, and that is what I sprayed, and it cleared it right up. So I'm a big advocate of that. I'm kind of pushing that as a solution to a lot of the pest problems. I don't know if that's something you would ever have.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. Actually, I did see the horse chestnut video. Yes, do you know what? It completely. Because of my immediate sort of thing is use a fairy liquid or any soap that is available. But do you know what? That is a fantastic option there, because you're not only not having to spend. It's something that's completely natural. Yeah, I'm going to have to organic. Convert to that from now on. You've just awakened me, so cheers for that.
No worries. Well, I mean, it's not something that initially occurred to me until someone actually asked me the question, I think. I don't know if it was on that video or if it was on a Facebook group or something. Someone actually asked me, what sort of soap would you suggest using? And that's what made me sort of think, well, surely this would work just as well. And it did, you know, it worked just Brilliant. As well as anything
yeah,
else
yeah,
I'd ever used.
Super.
So super, super effective as well.
You can now support the show directly. Just go to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. You can become a patron and set up to donate to the show from any amount. Pledging as little as $3 a month makes a huge difference. If that's not your thing, you can also support the show by sharing it with people you know or posting about it on social media. We really appreciate all the help that you give us. It's people like you that make this show possible.
So we'll work through your list of jobs in the order that you mentioned them. So we may as well start with watering. And I will admit, watering isn't something I actually ever really think about in my established fruit trees. Is it all of our trees or just the ones that we've planted recently?
So it really depends on your setup. I mean, I know, well, from watching your videos and hearing what you say about your kind of mature ones, you put a nice mulch on there. So that's going to retain your moisture. So when it does rain, it's going to seep through the mulch. Sun's going to come out. It's just going to dry that little top bit of surface, but the moisture is going to be retained within that mulch. So I think on your mature fruit trees, as long as they're mulched in the autumn and winter time, I think you should be okay for watering there. Now, it obviously does depend on your soil type. Sure. Obviously, if you've got a very free-draining soil and it's in a really, really hot location where it gets full sun all day and there's no kind of shelter around it, then potentially it may be worth getting that watered. If, you know, that's not something that you want to constantly go out and do, there's various different watering techniques there. You could put a, you know, where they put the bottles and have a little drip coming out of it. Or you can get, now the name escapes me, but it's effectively a ring that you fill up with water, similar to like a rubber ring. And you would just fill that up with water and that's got a few holes in it. And then that would slowly seep out. And it's obviously a larger vessel that you can put more water in. So that's quite a good one, actually. And once again, it's the fact that the water's dripping from the base and it's not going to evaporate off because you've got that covering on there. With your establishing ones, obviously, when you're planting a fruit tree, it's got to be autumn, winter, you know, creeping into summer. The best time is obviously autumn for planting your fruit trees and getting those guys in,
because
you want them to get a little bit of a root in before the frost and the winter comes. And then also it gives them a good start ready for the spring, really. But yeah, with those guys, if let's say you've planted it the autumn last year, so for this year, let's say you planted it in 2019, then 100% you want to give it as much as you can to really kickstart those roots to get them going, and really do drench it. Obviously, if you've got a super clay soil, don't do that, because it will rot the roots. But for the majority of soils, and I'm sure whoever has planted a tree, they're going to have put some organic matter in there. You know, they would have really tried to care for the soil as you want to care for your tree. So really give it a good drench so the water gets low within the soil so the roots can get deep. So, you know, long term, it won't uproot from a wind or things like that.
Sure. And how, I suppose, I was going to ask you something that I'm probably now going to classify as a stupid question, but how long would you water a tree for in the manner that you're considering it to be establishing? And I suppose the answer is how
long. Yeah, so are you asking how many litres per day? Are you asking?
I'm asking a period of time. So, you know, once a tree has been in the ground for 2 years, do you consider that established? Or is it 3 years? And I realize as I'm asking that there's no real question. There's no real answer to that question. It's more about how the tree's health
I think
is
that
doing.
Is a good question in a sense, because you've got to evaluate your tree. You've got to, as I always say, you've got to know your tree. You've got to understand its growth patterns, how much it grows. So you always want to be gauging. I think a lot of people end up looking down, especially with when it's concerned with foods and grass, you always look down, but a tree, you've always got to look up and really see how much growth is going on there. So if you're seeing it struggling, then, you know, a bit of water is not going to harm it. It's really just going to say, thank you so much, and take it all up. And the leaves, I think the leaves would be a good indication if they're wilting, you know, if they're losing that nice shine on them, just give it a good water. So, I mean, usually I would say it depends obviously on prep work, how much manure's in there and how good the soil is. And, you know, when you have planted it, you've teased the roots out and you've kind of guided them in their early stages, then it should just be, you know, the first summer as long as you've given it a good drenching, the next year it should be all right. But I still would monitor it and then go from there. But I would water it as much as you can the first summer. Then the next summer, you know, if let's say the last summer you did it every other day, then you know next summer maybe weekly or bi-weekly, and go from there on that really. But I think the first summer it should have developed a root system with a good grip on the ground to take in the water really. But every tree is individual and different, so do monitor it.
Find Self-Sufficient Hub content elsewhere online in lots of other places. We have a YouTube channel, we also have our website, and now there's our Facebook page and Facebook group. Links to all of these you can find in the show notes. Come check us out.
Okay, so on to our next point, and that is pruning. Now, there's quite a lot to go into here, isn't there? So I will let you completely lead me and I will just ask questions.
Absolutely, yeah, fire away.
Well, first thing is, what are we pruning? How are we
pruning? So effectively, you're going to be pruning the majority of your fruit trees. So you've got your apples, your pears, I would say you've got your cherries, damsons, potentially mulberries, nectarines and peaches as well. So it's the whole spectrum of fruit trees, because what you're effectively doing is pruning back that year's growth where you don't want it. Because if, for say, you want a branch to get bigger, you don't want to cut that back. But if it's got to a stage where you're happy with the shape and you're happy with the height and the overall look of the tree, then each year you want to cut that back so it retains the shape of the tree. So I'm going to mainly talk about apples and pears. They're very similar. So that's the example I'm going to use, but the methods are transferable across, you know, the whole fruit tree range. But it's easiest to explain with apples and pears, obviously.
Just before you go any further, are there any fruit or nut trees that we shouldn't be pruning?
So I would probably with nut trees, I wouldn't say this with nut trees. I would say this for kind of more, you know, your commercially grown fruit trees, you know, that would be standards or cordons, or you would have espaliered it or trained it into a fan shape on the wall effectively. So it's that sort of plant. Yep. I wouldn't, you know, go, because obviously nuts is a whole other topics. So I would exclude nuts from this for this time.
Fine. So for this pruning activity that we're about to virtually undertake, we're talking specifically
soft fruit trees. Obviously excluding fruit bushes such as, you know, your currants and your raspberries, etc.
Sure. Okay, so where do we start?
First of all, you want to make sure it's the right time for your tree. Obviously, you can say summer pruning. It's such a broad broad time scale. So I wouldn't give everyone an individual time. Depending on your tree and your location, depends on when to prune it. The best guide is when 3/4 of the actual tree the tips of the new growth has become woody and is what is called set, when it's not that soft green pliable, you know, that's if you flick it, it doesn't snap. Yeah. It has set and it's gone to what you would see, what you would class really as wood, where it's brown and it's a bit more hard there.
So we can all look at our trees, can't we? And we can all see early in the season, in the spring and early summer, we can all see really easily, right, that is this year's growth and that is not. And what you're saying is when 3/4 of the tips, it's not quite so easy to say that's this year's growth. You know, it's starting to look more like last year's growth.
Yeah, absolutely. That's probably your best gauge. I know a lot of these kind of, the you know, all the books and television programs are going to say, right, it's July the 15th, get out there and prune your tree, you know. But it's different for everyone. Yeah. You know, if you're up north in the UK, you're going to be doing it in the end of September. But where I'm down in the south, I've already done mine. So it really does depend on that, because it's a growing season, and year after year, the whole point is being able to adapt and see a tree for a tree rather than a time, because your fruit's going to come at different times of the year as well. It's not every year going to drop the first apple on, you know, August the 15th or something.
Sure. Particularly with the climate changes that we're seeing. I mean, I know this year in particular, there is so much that I'm seeing right now that I wouldn't expect to see until September usually. So it's just, you know, it's really important, whatever you're doing in the garden, if it's something that you're doing at a certain time, then it's important to remember that that certain time doesn't relate to the calendar. That certain time relates to the life cycle of whatever it is we're thinking about.
Yeah, all throughout the plant and animal kingdom, you know, you see that. So it's good to just instinctively, I think, and, you know, as I said before, adapt to it and look at your tree, because, you know, if you're still with that tree in 10 years time, it's not going to be that fixed date. So three quarters have set, and that's very key on a couple of points. If you do it too early, then the tree is going to go, oh, I've just been cut, I'm going to shoot off more, because it's kind of a stage when the tree switches from kind of leafy growth, it switches to, let's pump all this nutrients into the fruit. So if you do it too early, you're wasting a lot of energy, because the tree is going to put that back into more growth where you've just cut them. On the other hand, if you do it too late, it's going to be nearer the winter, and all of the energy wouldn't have gone to the fruit, which is what you want in the summer. And you've got the risk of dieback as well from the new shoots that you've cut effectively.
It's really easy for you to get in touch with us. You can do it either by sending an email to selfsufficientcontact@gmail.com or by using the link in the show notes to send us a voice message. You can send us a voice message just using your phone. You could also reach out to us on Facebook, where we have the Self Sufficient Hub group and the Self Sufficient Hub page. We're always thrilled to get your feedback, questions, or suggestions for future topics on the show.
So we've established that our tree is at the right time and we're ready to go. What are we looking
to
prune?
With a summer prune, secateurs is the only tool you're going to need, maybe a ladder, but secateurs, you know, you're just taking off that soft woody growth. So what it is, it's still soft, but it's obviously not as pliable as we said, you know, the new shoots. But yeah, you're only taking off the soft growth. If there's any branches that you need loppers or a saw, you need to leave that till the winter. So it's just a secateur job, and it's taking back all the leafy shoots. And you're going to be taking those back to 3 to 5 buds, from last year's effectively. So, you know, where last year's growth comes to, it's usually like a little bit of a ring, or if you're used to cutting your tree, you'll see where you've cut it last year. So the whole development is year after year, you're getting more and more into your tree, knowing your tree, and when you've done one cut, you already know where you're going to cut next year, and you're going to know that my apple tree grows 1 foot each year. I know if I leave this branch in 3 years time, that's gonna be out here where I want it to fill in where that branch had fallen in the winter effectively. So you're taking the leafy shoots back to 3 to 5 buds, which is usually a 3 bud would probably be about 2 inches, but it does depend on a variety of different things, obviously how fast it's grown and the variety of the tree and things.
Yeah, Sure. And is that all that we're doing?
Yeah, so
time of year?
The other thing you can do with the actual pruning is if you've got, so you're pruning at this time, you've got apples on there. So don't be afraid that there's apples you shouldn't be pruning. You can thin out apples. If you have a cluster of six apples on one kind of small branch, you've got to think, is that branch going to sustain that weight? Or is it end up going to snap and I'm going to lose all six? Or is enough energy from that tree going to go into all six? So it may be worth taking off a couple of the smaller apples to allow air and light to the other apples to enable them to grow to a decent size that, you know, you see in the shops effectively. So if you've got an apple tree with a huge yield of fruit, but they're absolutely tiny, thin out the apples, and that will really enable the rest of the fruit to get to a good size on that one. And same with, by doing this, cutting back the whippy the shoots back to 3 to 5 buds, that's enabling more light and more energy, and just generally more air to get to the apples. Because I don't know about you, but some of my trees, when they you know, have that summer growth, the apples are in the shade, so you know you're not going to get a really nice color on that apple. You're not going to get a lot of nutrients in there, because the nutrients is effectively going all the way to the tip of the new shoot and then all the way back down. So if you just cut that shoot off, it's only going to go to the top where you've cut it to 3 to 5 buds, and then it's going to come back down and pump into those apples and really beef them up effectively. So it's a really crucial thing to do.
Great. So it's going to increase our yields and the flavor and everything else. And it's no different, I suppose, to thinning anything else, is it? Thinning carrots.
Yes,
the same principle.
Yeah, yeah.
The same principle,
yes,
applies, doesn't,
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. And go on.
For some reason, it feels so alien to thin apples, doesn't it? But we don't think twice about doing it with our vegetables.
That's very true. Yeah, it feels like you're taking some of your yield away, but you've got to realize, you know, would you prefer to, let's say you're making a crumble, would you prefer to peel, you know, 12 tiny little apples or 2 beefy ones to fill in your crumble?
Yeah.
Sure. So yeah, it's really good. And also for next year's fruit, it's crucial because you're creating a spur system. Now, what I mean by a spur system is lots of little nodes, which are the little buds, buds or nodes, really, for next year. So as you've cut that 3 buds or 3 to 5 buds, the energy is obviously going to go to the top, which will be the last bud. Now that's going to start pumping up as well with nutrients. It's going to get the light from the sun. And that's really going to enable the bud to develop from a leaf to a flowering bud, which will then give you more fruit next year. So if you do have a tree with low fruit, but you know you've got all this growth and you think, you know, my tree's so happy, I water it, I mulch it, it's got huge amount of growth, but no fruit, the pruning's wrong. You know, you've got to prune it back, get the energy in the right place, and build those those nodes up. And then from that year, so you've got one on that third, let's see, on that third node, you've got one apple that's developed for the next summer. Then the next year, you cut back, and then on it would be effectively 6 away from that, from this year's growth, if that makes sense. But it would be 3 from next
year. Yeah, it
does, yeah. You're going to have another apple, and then you can create this kind of spur network with ropes of apple. And you also got to think, every time you do that, apples further down will start developing as well. So it's a win-win. On every level.
So that's the first half of my interview with Adam. Unfortunately, it's a rather long conversation. We'd planned for it to be around 25 minutes, but it went on for well over an hour that we were talking, because It just naturally happened that way. And Adam was very generous with his time. But unfortunately, I've not had time to edit the second half of our conversation. So we're going to end there for this week. And the second half of the conversation with Adam about summer fruit tree care will be next Monday's episode. So make sure to tune in then to catch the second half of that interview. The links to Adam's YouTube can be found in the show notes, however, even though he didn't get to mention them on this episode. He is Gardener's Tale on YouTube, and it's an excellent channel. It's a young channel, but I'm sure that he would appreciate your support. Speak to you soon.
If you find this podcast valuable, there's several ways you can support it. The easiest of which is to rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts. You could also talk about it or share it wherever you post online, including your social media pages. And now you can support the podcast directly by becoming a patron at patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, we really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. See you soon. Thank you.